Earlier it worked, it may not work now, who knows? Let's just see what happens. Magic. Okay. So again, we're talking how to study the Bible. And today we're talking about studying the topics of the Bible. So you can pick any topic you want and you can take and do a study of that. He picks a particular topic, which I've kind of looked at a little bit myself over the last couple months, and which is kind of interesting. But anyway, we're just going to look at this morning, or this afternoon. And we're just going to go through, and this is all basically in your book. If you read it, you've seen it before. So he says one of the most important ways to study the Bible is topically or doctrinally. What's a topic study? Anybody give me a topic study? Could be anything. Do what? What'd you say? Any topic. Is that what you said? Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Topic. Evil, hell, Jesus, salvation, sanctification. You can study words in the Bible, just different words, whatever, and that's what we're going to study today. Well, it's not just a word. It's a concept as well, or a thing. So a systematic theology sounds like more sophisticated than a topical Bible study, but that's exactly what it is. Systematic theology takes topics and arranges those in an order. That's what systematic theology is. It's a class you have to take when you're in Bible college. They teach you how to organize things, and so you can study those. Systematic theology is nothing more or less than analyzing the Bible, it says, on various subjects, and then categorizing and organizing the teaching. During the first few years, this is Brother Cloud, when he was converted, he said he developed his own topical studies by arranging Bible verses by subject in a large notebook that I kept for that purpose. When you go to Ambassador, you take a course called Counseling. And in that counseling course, they have you make a notebook. In that notebook, you're going to pick a topic, and you're going to go through there and do a study on that topic, and you're going to write that down. You'll have to turn the notebook in. But it's a good tool to use that helps you to learn how to study on different topics. So if someone came to your office as a pastor and asked you a question that you might not have everything on top of your head, you could open your little notebook and go and look on this topic or whatever. For instance, television. Pastor, what about television? Well, I got a topic in my notebook that talks about television. Okay, and so you can look that and you can give the verses and the references and things like that. So that's kind of what he's talking about. He goes on, D says, I had separate pages for subjects such as Christ, deity, sin, heaven, hell, Satan, diligence, anger, Holy Spirit, demons, resurrection, baptism, tongues, death, etc. So this is all good because every one of these you're going to get in your lifetime. If you're living your life for the Lord and people know you're a Christian, they're going to ask you, what about tongues? Are tongues something that are good for today? Now, there may be, I hope there's no disagreement here today. There could be. But as I've studied it out, tongues are done away with. They were a sign gift given to the apostles and those folks who lived during that time. The church at Corinth, they had tongues during that time. But it also tells us that those things are done away with in 1 Corinthians 13 because we have the more perfect that has come, Christ himself, and the Word, which is Christ as well. We have a completed canon here. We don't need tongues as a sign. We have the Spirit of God and we have the Word of God. So anyway, I don't know why I got stuck on that one. He said it was very exciting to learn what the Bible had to say on many monumentous topics. He found by the time that he arrived at Bible school, a year after he was saved, he already had a good grounding in many Bible doctrines through this practice. Again, this tells me and reminds me is that Bible college is an extension of the church. It is really the church's responsibility to train up disciples and to do the ministry. Bible college helps, but if we were really founded on the principles of the early churches, we should be doing that work right here, training our people here to be able to go and do those things, to become pastors and to become missionaries and those things. But we don't always do that, and so we end up sending it off and have somebody else do it. And again, I'm not against Bible colleges or anything. It's just I'm against what I'm not doing, if that makes any sense, what I feel like we should be doing, or I should anyway. Okay. My topical studies became more expansive and refined as the years passed. Eventually, they were incorporated into the Way of Life Encyclopedia. So if you have that, you have a bunch of topical studies that Brother Cloud did. And that's what the encyclopedia is, generally. Okay? So you can look those things up and you can find out. And he uses the very tools he talks about. If you look at his Way of Life Encyclopedia, a lot of the things that he has in there come from some of those things. For instance, Knave's topical it's a Bible, I think. He has some of that information in there. He quotes Barnes. He quotes other authors and stuff. So he did his studies to come up with his as well. The same way each individual in this room would study, that's what he did. And that's what he's trying to teach us is how to do that as well. Okay, does that make sense? Just raise your hand if you want to go home and go to bed. Don't. I'm just kidding. I'll follow you. Okay. If you're interested in other topical tools, many are available. We've already went through this. He has 30 in his library. Thompson Chain Reference Bible. This is on the way. This is on Sword Searcher as well. So if you have Sword Searcher, you have Thompson's Chain Reference Bible. It does a lot of topical studies. In fact, the way that Bible's set up is topical studies. The Scofield Bible. It also has topical studies built into their system. And then Dugan, which I still don't know who these people are, they published an excellent topical study Bible. Okay. Two of the standalone topical tools that I have found helpful. These are two that I guess he recommends highly above others. Knave's Topical Bible. And again, this is where he gets a lot of information from. New Topical Textbook. And then again, he talks about this coming from the Sword of the Lord. And he says Knave's and Thompson, which I already mentioned Thompson, both of those are in Sword Searcher. So if you have Sword Searcher, you have Knave's Topical Bible, and you have Thompson's Chain Reference as well. And again, those are helpful to go and study. All right, so how to study the Bible topically. So you want to go through the Bible and write down all the important verses that pertain to the topic, leaving room after each verse to write down lessons. Where are we going to find all the verses that pertain to the topic? Concordance? Huh? Well, that's what he recommends, doesn't he? That's right. You can get it there. Other encyclopedias as well. The concordance will help you in that as well. Concordance will help you find Greek words, which I like to do it that way, is go find what the original language word is and pop that in there and find out what other words it's translated in and find how it's used. Because that gives you an idea, more of a greater sense of that word than just saying, for instance, type in murder and get all the verses with murder in it. That word murder is going to be a Greek or a Hebrew word, and it may be other meanings by it. Okay, so concordance, good one. So treasure of scripture knowledge is helpful as well because it will give you verses that will help you to lead you to other verses. Let's see if this works. It might not. Stay. Okay. So, for instance, if you want to do a topical study, one thing, if you had Sword Searcher, you might want to do, you might want to type in the word murder, okay? And if you did that, it's going to give you 9 verses. It says here, 9 verses and 9 matches for that word murder, okay? So that's just one word. There are other words. You tell me to get out of the way? Okay, let me see if I can get this out of the way. Okay, let me do this too. I can expand this a little bit, maybe. Drop that on down. Okay, so if you see the search box in the left corner, I just typed in murder up here, and these are the books that it's in. That Psalms, 2 verses of the word murder, just the way it is there. But there are other words for murder. Can you think of any other words? Kill. So there's another word you might want to look up. I hit delete, so that didn't work. Okay, so now there's 126 matches and 119 verses in the Old Testament and New Testament for that word kill. So again, that's another word you would want to look up. You probably want to look up another word. And the only reason I know this word is because it's in this study. He didn't look it up. Or at least he didn't say he looked it up, but he did because we got verses, is slew. The first murder that ever took place, you won't find the word murder. You'll find the word slew, okay? So you want to look that word up. And again, what I say is, when you look up one of these words, there's a, it says, not open word trees. Where's it at? Opening of Strong's indexer. So if I look up, if it'll let me do it, that's not, it's going to be mean. It's doing crazy things again. If I typed in, well, there's kill right there. I don't know if you can't see it, but it comes up with all the Greek and Hebrew words for kill in that box there, the English Strong's indexer. So it'll give you a whole lot of other words that word kill, English word, is translated from in the Hebrew and Greek. So when you're studying something, you can go for a long time in studying something. It just depends on how in-depth you want to study that subject. Because you can keep going. You can keep looking up different words and finding more words. You can find the Hebrews, the Greek words. You can find the different English words and stuff. And those all correspond to all these tools. They'll show you those and you'll keep, you know, developing your study. So anyway, let me get out of this. I can't. Okay, good. And so, as Lynn expressed to us, you can use the Way of Life Encyclopedia. Okay. To find the most important verses on topic and then do your own study. Again, this is from him because his study is not exhaustive either. So just want, this is a tool, especially for a lay person just getting started. One tool like this is invaluable because it's going to help you and guide you through a lot of things. And I trust Brother Cloud. He has done a lot of studies over the years. He's got a lot of knowledge. And what you see is going to be right. It just may not be everything because everything is overwhelming sometimes, okay? So what I did, because my computer's messing up, well, I haven't done it yet. If you're using concordance for topical study, you must first determine what words are associated with that topic, which I've already mentioned. Kill, slew, murder, killing, but whatever. He just gives an example of Satan. So if you're going to study Satan, you want to look up Satan. You want to look up the devil. Devils, plural. You want to look up the god of this world, because we know the god of this world is Satan. You want to look up prince of the power of the air. Beelzebub. Now, for someone who's just starting out, you may not know all those words. I mean, if you don't know that Satan is the prince of the power of the air or the god of this world, you're probably not going to look those words up. So as you do your study, whatever tools you're using, the only way you're going to know that is they're going to point you to that. Maybe treasure scripture knowledge will have a verse, and it will point you to the verse that shows you that, so you can do that study. Serpent, dragon, and then etc. Define all the terms that are used for that topic. And then write down the main lessons from each verse. So when he says define all the terms that are used from a topic, he's talking about define the terms that you don't know. Remember last week when we defined terms, there were terms in the passage of Matthew 7. There were like three or four. We mote, meet, what was it, the beam, and there was something else, hypocrite, I think. Those were the four we, you know, and we probably knew all of them but two. And all of us probably knew all of them, but someone who's doing it, meet, mote, you know, that might not be as, okay. And then he says, write down the main lessons from each verse. So when you find verses, you want to jot those lessons down that verse is teaching, because the word murder occurs in a lot of verses. And it tells us and explains what it means in those particular verses. And it's different in different passages, okay? Organize the lesson into an outline. So once you've done all your writing down the main verses, you're going to organize it into an outline. So now we're going to get into the example that he gives to us, okay? Killing, murder. That's what he's getting. Now, if you put in killing or murder into the Way of Life Encyclopedia, you're going to get reference to the word kill, okay? That's what he'll reference you to. Because killing is not in there, neither is murder, okay? I typed those words in, didn't get it. This is what I got in just a second. Way of Life on the subject of kill. And here's what it says. To cause someone to die, to put to death, one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not kill. The Hebrew word translated kill in Exodus 20:13 is rot, shock, if that's the way you translate or say it. Translated murder 14 times, and it gives you verses that is translated into translated murder, and then it gives you and slayer 17 times in where it's translated there. And there's more in that when you look at it. There's a whole lot. In fact, this study that we're doing today, a lot of that's in that way of life study that he's already done, because he's already done it. So hypothetically, if you were doing it, a good tool will give you probably 50 to 60% of your information right away, because he's going to go and define terms and do different things for you, okay? Just so you know, if you're studying a subject, the way of life is a good tool to use to get you to what you need. Okay. Nave's topical study. I put that in there. It's not in your book, because I didn't see anywhere he referenced Genesis 4, 8 through 12. It's in his text, but he doesn't show any, unless I missed it, and I could have. I don't see Genesis up there anywhere, and I don't see where he checked out the word slew, but he starts there because that's the first murder that ever took place. Someone turn to Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, and let's read that. So verses 8 through 12 here. Who'll do that for me? Okay, Kurt?
Cain talked to Abel's brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel's brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto thee from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood.
Okay, so here is the first place that a murder has taken place. This is not the first time that blood was spilled. When was that? And what was that for? That's right. Killing animals is not murder. So if you're a hunter, go kill your animals if you want to. It's not murder, and we're going to see in the study, you know, where it does it say killing animals is murder. That's some people, you hear it all the time, especially from our progressive type people. Killing animals, that's murder. Let's abort the babies and don't kill the animals. Or anyway, sorry. In this passage, I don't see any words. This is he's saying this. I don't see any words that need to be looked up. So as you look through this, I would look up slew myself just to look at it and see references from it. King James Bible is not as difficult to understand as some would have us think, and we know that because we've been studying it for a long time. There are some words in there that are different, but after you study it a while, you learn those words and you can understand the things that God wants us to understand or reveal to us. Following our two lessons we learn about killing. Let's see what he says here. Murder is in the heart of man from the beginning after he fell. That's who we are, aren't we? We are murderers. You say, I never murdered anybody. What did Jesus say? If you spoke to somebody and said, Raca, you're a murderer at heart. Yes, we are. And it's in the heart. And that's who we are. And then God has hated and judged murder from the very beginning. The first murder, he's judged it. And it will be judged all the way through until the day we see him. So those are two things you could jot. There may be something else you might want to jot down. Maybe anybody have any thoughts? Something else they might? So these could be called points of assertion in a sense. Whenever you're developing message, you'll come and you'll look at passages and you'll develop points of assertion that helps you to define your points. Sorry. Points. Okay, let's move on. Genesis 9, 3 through 6. Who can pick that up? Genesis 9, 3 through 6. Okay, Greg? Yes, thank you. Okay, So, what do you see anything here that needs to be defined? Maybe that not sure what the word might mean or something, or a phrase or whatever. Okay, let's kind of, before I go and give what he tells us, let's define or find points of assertion or meanings. In verse 3, someone want to take that verse and tell me or share with us what they get out of that verse? Anybody like to do that? I'm sorry? That's right. Absolutely. And that includes, he did say, and the green herb. So it's all given to us to eat. It's for us. Verse 4, someone take that one? Probably 4 and 5 need to go together, probably. Jeff, did you want? That's right. Not to eat the blood. It's like I was telling my nurse the other day, she's giving me a shot, or she wouldn't give me a shot, she's taking my blood. I said, you know, you're just taking the life out of me. The blood is in the life. Or life is in the blood. The blood is in the life. No, life is in the blood. And she said, yeah, you're right. And so, but anyway, so we're not to eat blood. The Bible teaches us that's not something we're not supposed to do. And then in verse 5, it says, and surely your blood of your lives will I require it, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of every man, and at the hand of every brother will I require the life of man. So what is it saying there? That's a tough one, isn't it? Yes. That's right. So if a beast, right? And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, at the hand of every man, at the hand of every brother will I require the life of man. In other words, the beast kills a man. That's what I believe he's talking about there. It's not talking about killing a beast, because it's okay to kill the beast. The only thing we're not to do with the beast is what? Huh? No, eat the blood. You're getting ahead of yourself. Well, you can offer, yeah, you shouldn't offer to idols. Okay, and then verse 6, whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Okay, so as we go, it says, again, I don't see any words. This is our brother Cloud saying. God says that murder must be punished by capital punishment. This is where we know that the capital punishment is established. Today, a lot of people don't want to honor that, don't believe in that. We understand where they're coming from, I guess, in a sense, is that they think, well, you don't want to kill anybody. And I can understand that, right? From the Christian perspective, we don't want to kill anybody. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not to kill anybody. It's the government who's given the authority to do capital punishment. And they're the ones. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but police officers, people at the border, these people are ministers of God. They're ordained. They have that right to do that. Military who are working for the government have that right to do that. But individually, I can't find that I have that right. And we'll talk about that more as we go through. Okay, so murder is very evil because of man, of what man is. Again, we see that established. To kill an animal is not murder. Okay? So Exodus 20:13, someone read that. Thou shalt not kill. Okay, sorry. So what do we get out of that? This is in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. I know it's obvious, but don't murder. That's right. Again, okay. God forgets killing in cold blood. That's what murder is. Okay? Murder is a premeditated act. And we're going to see that as we get into the book of Numbers and some other places. But he forbids killing in cold blood. Okay? And he says, compare this verse with the following verses. We see that some kinds of killing are allowed. And that's what he's going to share with us in Exodus 22:2-3. I've already got it written up here, but let's just read it. It says, if a thief be found breaking up. Now, that word breaking up means breaking in, passing in, I think is the way it goes down to translation. Someone comes into your house and be smitten that he die. Okay, you don't know why he's there, and what do? You beat him or shoot him or whatever, he dies. Okay, there shall no blood be shed for him. What's that mean? Is that you're not guilty of anything. Okay? If the sun be risen upon him. Now, this is different. I'm struggling with this verse. It says, there shall be blood shed for him. What's that mean? Help me out. I need some help with that verse. It sounds like if someone's breaking my house and I shoot him, I'm in trouble. That's the rules in America. And that's probably a good rule, maybe. I don't know. I'm just asking you to help me because I'm looking at this and studying, and I come to this verse, and it says, if the sun be risen, and it's in the context says, if someone steals an animal or is a thief, then he has to pay back fourfold and sevenfold, is the first verse. And then it comes into verse 2, and it says, if he's breaking into your house, and you smite him and he dies, there's no blood. You're not guilty of that. But if the sun be risen, which is it's light outside, that's what that means. He says, upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. And what it's saying, I don't know what that means exactly. But let's skip that for a second. For he should make full restitution. So some guy comes into my house. He steals something. I caught him. He has to make full restitution of that. That's what that's saying. And if he can't pay for it, then it says, if he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. The only part of that verse I'm having a problem with is that little second passage there. Help me out. What do you think? I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Down the street in the daylight, you don't kill him because he had broken into your house, but he needs to pay you back for what he stole.
And maybe that's what it means. I don't know. See, I'm trying to keep it in context, and that's can be in context. I just don't know that. Right. Right. That's right. Uh-huh. Yeah, I got you. And that could be that too. That could be that too. I'm not arguing with anybody. I'm just telling you, I just said I didn't know. Exactly. What am I looking for? Exodus? Is that what? Exodus chapter 22? Yeah, let's just look at some of this. I mean, it's a study. It's something that we're trying to do. So let me just make this big here. Then I'll lose out some other stuff. But anyway, it says, if a man, this is the context of it in verse 1. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. Okay? So if you steal, you're going to repay. If a thief be found, and let's look at that word, those words, just so you... Okay, if a thief be found, come forth, appear, okay, breaking up, that's where I told you it's burglary. If you look at the H286, it has a little more to that. It says, and be smitten, that is, you strike him or whatever, and you die. No blood, that's what's in the context. Their shell is not there. No blood, okay, of man or animal, if you will. It's just talking about the blood there. And this here's all this is just added to it. No blood, basically. So you're not going to shed blood. You're not going to be found guilty in the sense. But now the next verse, now, and you, Kirk, you might have it right on the head. If the son, okay, now, the thing I don't understand, because it doesn't say, if the thief be found breaking up at night, it didn't say that, right? So we don't know. If the son be risen, and again, the son be risen is to be brilliant, by implication, figuratively, be risen, okay, and that is to rise, specifically to appear. So it's light out. That's basically what that means. Upon him, and then there's stuff in here that's not in the Hebrew. He says, be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. Okay, so it's risen upon him, blood for him. And what the whoever came and added this was saying that this person is being killed. Okay, it's not as clear as the other one. So all these go together. Breaking up, is this breaking up in the nighttime, breaking up in the daytime, smitten and he die, blood, smitten and he die in blood. Again, and then it says for him, and then it says, where's that? There shall be blood for him, meaning there's going to be a repayment of blood for him.
Is it implying that?
That could be. See, that's the thing. So we have to discern, what does that mean? Well, one thing we have to know, too, is that as Christians, this is talking to the Old Testament. This is not for us today. We know that, don't we? To some degree. If we study the New Testament passages, will we find this in the New Testament? If you do, help me. I'm telling you, I'm studying this out, and I'm coming to conclusions that I'm having a hard time dealing with some of these things because I'm not sure. But everybody, the commentators generally say that if someone breaks into your house and you kill them, that's fine. That's not murder. So, you know, and I don't see a problem with that either in the sense that he's trying to do you harm. You don't know what he's going to do. You don't know if he's coming to steal something or to kill you, right? Yeah, no. Help. This is what we're doing. Okay. Right. But right, and so here's my problem. This is what I understand. What if it means that he breaks into your house during the daytime and you see him and you caught him red-handed? Is it okay to kill him then? Okay. Go ahead. It could very well be. It could very well be. Right. And that, I'm not disagreeing with that either. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to look at the verses and the words and trying to put them together. And sometimes they're hard because if it goes together, then it means something else than if it's two separate things. Does that make sense? If it's two separate things, like Kirk is kind of, I mean, it's kind of the same but different. You find him later, you know, which makes good sense too, you know. I mean, it's like if someone hauls something out of your yard and they're running out, it's daylight, and you shoot him, is that legal? We do it still today. Well, he's stealing my stuff. Right. For less than that, even sometimes. Yeah, right. Well, that's who we are. And we already found that out in the beginning. We have murder in our hearts, right? All I'm trying to do is look at his study. Let's look what he says because this will help you. Yeah, yeah. No, that's true too. Sure. Right. Well, hey, you might have some insight. Uh-huh. Sure. Uh-huh. Sure, absolutely. He's, what is it, flight or life in his situation, right? Yeah. Right.
So I kind of see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say this in that same context, and I'm being the devil's advocate. I don't want to be the devil's advocate. But the sun's up, it's different too. If someone's breaking into my house and the sun's up, I can see the guy face to face. It might be different too. My point is, I think you. I'm not saying you're wrong. You could absolutely be right. I just don't know. And I tend to agree that if someone's going to break into my house, I'm probably going to do something. If I am not running, I might be getting my gun and doing something else or whatever. But I'm just saying, as I'm trying to study the Bible and find out, and I've been looking at some of this stuff for a while about murder, killing people and stuff like that, I think, and again, we're in the Old Testament. We haven't gotten to the New Testament yet and saw what it says about killing and murder, and we can go and find out some things there. I'm just saying sometimes we lean to things that maybe we are not really looking to the scriptures as they are teaching. And I'm not saying that about this particular passage. I threw that out there because I want to hear you talk and help me to understand as well. Go ahead. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and let me say again, just because something's law does not make it right for the Christian. You got to put that in context, okay? And we got to think about these things from the real life perspective of the Word of God versus what they wrote in the law. Because I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that doesn't make it right for me as a Christian, okay? And you can disagree with me. I don't have a problem with that. I just don't know. That's what I'm trying to find out. Let me say something too, because he's going to agree with everybody. And I don't disagree with it. I just don't know. I looked this up and a couple commentaries. Nobody dealt with that phrase. They just skipped right over that. And I'm going, okay, they know, but they're smarter than me too. Probably a lot of those guys know Hebrew. And they get really, discern this better. So he says he doesn't see any words that we need to look at. And this, I made this note here because I didn't know. Is it not murder to kill a thief? It is not murder to kill a thief breaking into your house. And I said, note, this is not true for the daytime, verse 23. Again, I don't know. And I think Greg and Kirk both have a good explanation of that. And I'm not throwing that away. I'm just saying it's not in my heart. I have not settled that yet. I'm still trying to find out. Well, that's what, see, I was thinking if they caught him and killed him, then there'll be blood shed. In other words, if I caught somebody killing something, I saw him and he has my thing and I say, okay, you're taking my stuff, boom. And I don't know.
You might kill him, but you might catch him and he has to make the best.
That's right. Exactly. And that's where I need to do more study as well. I'm just looking at it from, I was going through here and I did some study on the murder thing and I went back and I looked at this and it just, it's there and I couldn't find the answer. Nobody in the commentary said this part of the verse means this. Everybody skips over. And you'll see that a lot of times in commentaries because it's hard to deal with some things when you just don't know and you don't want to tell a lie, so you just kind of move over it. And you don't say anything about it. A lot of commentaries do that. Okay, let's go to Numbers 35, 16 through 31, and we're not going to do that because we're running out of time. So we'll stop right here. Let's see where I can mark that. But I would encourage you, have this in your book, go look up some of these things because more than anything, you can help me. I mean, I don't know everything. And I'm still learning and trying to find out things too. And when I come across something like this, I'm going, what does this really mean? my natural inkling would be to do the same thing and say, well, just means it's okay to, in self-defense to shoot people and stuff like that. But then I read about Paul's life. How many people did Paul smack in the face? How many people did Paul stab with a sword? How many people did Paul kick and spit on when they rebuked him? In the Bible, I find zero the answer. And as a Christian, I'm wondering if it's different for us. That when I read Romans chapter 8, we're killed all the day long. When I read to live as Christ and die as gain, I'm just wondering, is it different for us? We're not the ones to be doing those type of things. Our responsibility is giving the gospel out and dying, sacrificing for our Lord. And I just something that I'm thinking about. You think about it as much as you want, or not. But it's just something, as I've been studying, I'm coming to these conclusions that sometimes I think I have some kind of righteous indignation. If someone does something against me, I ought to be able to do it against them. And I'm not sure I can find that. It doesn't line up in Matthew chapter 5 when he says, if someone smacks you here, that you're to smack them, but you're to turn the other cheek. Now, you study it out, and if you come up with some better ideas, I would love to hear them, because that's where I'm at right now. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then do what you got to do, brother, whatever you're persuaded. Well, again, this whole point is that you have to be persuaded in your mind what's right, and I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. And like I say, if someone comes and breaks in my house, I'm probably going to react the same way. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm thinking about these things. If we don't ever think about the Word of God, we're never going to grow. It doesn't mean that I won't do the right thing today when I leave this place. Janie will say something to me, and I'll probably say something back to her, and I'm going, man, you need to die to yourself. You shouldn't have said that. Sorry, you get to use this excuse. Hopefully it won't happen today. I'm kidding. All right, let's go ahead and stand, and let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. All right, Greg, why don't you close this, please? Amen. Before you go separate ways, we've got a business meeting.
So go take a quick break, and we'll be starting close to 2:30. And I promise not to hold you long. Okay. 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 Okay.